My name is Eddie Krause. I don't know if I know any of you back here. This is when you come into a new church. I've never been here, and I was asked to come and speak for it to you, bring the Word of God to you, and I'll give you a little bit of my background. I was saved in 1969. God called me into the ministry in 97. And I thought that God called me to preach. I was uneducated. I don't have much education. But God called me. And I fought Him a while about it. And He just kept on. And I said, "Lord, I don't have what it takes." He said, "I'll give you what it takes. You just do what I ask." So I surrendered to preach, and I thought, well, I'd go find me a little white church up in the country somewhere or another, big oak trees around it. I had a vision of what I was going to do, and He put me back down on my feet, and He said, "Eddie," He said, "I want you to go and help senior pastors in churches." And that's what I've been doing since 97. God called me to do that, and I work with pastors. I don't tell pastors what to do. I'm there if they need me. And if somebody needs me to fill in for them, that's what I do. I go and fill in for them. But my name is Eddie. My wife back there, his name is Gloria. And my daughter is Stacy. My son-in-law is Danny Whitworth. And my 10-year-old grandson is Jameson Whitworth. My 6-year-old, with his head down, is Jaden Whitworth. That's my pride and joy. I thank God for my family. I thank God. I wanted to say that again. I thank God for a family that I can love that loves me. And that's what we as children of God, He's our Heavenly Father, and He loves us so much that He sent His Son, Jesus, to die on the cross and shed His blood. And on the third day, He rose. Now He sits at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. He loves us so much that He gave His Son. I wouldn't give my grandsons for any of you. I don't know you. But Jesus went to the cross and our Father sent His Son to die for you and me. Let me tell you a little bit about my boys back there. Jameson, he's 10, and we always come to the house on Saturday and we work on stuff, tractors and stuff, and they drive and they ride and they do all kinds of stuff. He's the mechanic in the bunch. My old Ford tractor needed a carburetor kit put in. He said, "Papa, I can do it. You get me a kit." And he took it home with him, carburetor, and took it home. And his dad watched him, and he rebuilt my carburetor for me. Put it on there, and that thing cranked up, runs good. Now, Jaden, on the other hand, he wants to be a mechanic. And he told me, he said, "I'm just a little bit too young yet, Papa." But he likes to mess with oil. He likes to get that oil on his hand and squeeze it. But he's an instructor. He's an instructor. He was 5 years old, and I'd been in the hospital, and I come home. My daughter was there, and they was going to mow my grass. And I have a zero turn, and she said she never operated a zero turn lawnmower. Jameson went out there and told her, said, "You crank it up, and you pull these levers together," and all this. He told her, and she said, "I'm confused." Jaden went out there, "Mama, sit down on the seat." He crawled up on her lap, and he got everything. He took it out there and went around the house and mowed right around the house and had her to put her hands on there. And he mowed around about 4 rounds, and he stopped. He said, turned around, "You think you can handle it now, Mom?" 5 years old. That's my babies. Thank you all for allowing me to come and share the Word of God with you today. And I want to read, if you have your Bibles, open it up to Psalms chapter 1. Very familiar chapter. Very familiar. But that's what the Lord laid on my heart today to bring to you. And if I get to do what God, I'll do what God wants me to do here. And I'll lay my watch here. I don't know what time y'all get. It's supposed to be out. But probably 15 to 11 is probably what you generally get out at. No, I'm just picking. It'll be short and sweet. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you again for the day. Lord, I do thank you for all that you've done for us, all your blessings. And I appreciate all that you've done and what you're going to do. And Lord, I pray for this church. Lord, I pray that for the when they find my pastor, Lord, I pray that you'll lead them and guide the man here that they need, that you want in this church. And Lord, I pray for each one of them. I don't know them, but you do. And God, I pray that you just have your way. And give me the words. Hide me behind the cross today. Don't let them see me, but let them see you, Lord. And your precious word come out like you want it to become. In thy name we pray. Amen. Verse off here in chapter 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. I want you to think about that this morning. Blessed is the man, or happy is the man, that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. I want to talk to you a little bit about counseling. You know, a lot of times we go to somebody, if we have a problem, we go to somebody that's ungodly, somebody that's not in church, and then we ask them questions about what kind of problems we're having. And we want to go for them for counseling. But that's not, he says here, he says, blessed or happy is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. We don't want to go to ungodly people and ask them about spiritual things. We want to go to God. That's why he has the Bible. If you'll read the Bible, you get in the Bible and you start reading the Bible, the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I'll send the Comforter, and the Holy Spirit is the one that, when we get saved, he comes in and sups with us and leads us and guides us and directs us, and he gives us, takes this word and meditates it in our hearts and shows us what God wants and reveals to us what God wants us to get out of the message. And here it is. He said, don't walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Ungodly things. People in Proverbs, I'm getting a little nervous. Y'all just bear with me. Like I said, I don't know nobody, but I know that Jesus is my Lord and Savior. I know that I'm going to heaven because I asked Jesus to come into my heart and life in 1969. Have I been true and done everything I was supposed to? No. I've not been perfect. I never will be perfect in this life. But I do know this, that he saved my soul. That's the only thing we need to know, is Jesus saved our soul, and we are to do what he says to do. And he says there about the counsel of the ungodly. He said, don't go there. Don't walk there. And then it says over here in Proverbs, and I'll read this, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 14 and 15. Enter not into the paths of the wicked, and go not into the ways of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. In other words, he's talking there, he says, enter not into the paths of the wicked. We as children of God are not to go out and get involved in the wicked things of this world. We are not to get involved in them. And you see, well, people get on internet and all this stuff. I have no clue on the internet. I have no computer. I don't have no smartphone. All I've got is a flip phone, and it says, it rings, and I answer it, and I can dial out and call somebody, and I have about 100 minutes. It costs me $7.50 a month. My wife has one. It costs her $15 a month, all we spend on our cell phone, and we never run out of minutes. She probably uses hers 5 minutes a month, and I've got a friend of mine, from another church, and he'll call me about twice a week. But we always, I'm not in the internet stuff. But it says here, don't go down, and children especially, and young people, and older people, they get on to this. The devil uses this stuff to entice us to get out there and search things, and when they start looking for something, something else pops up, and it gets our mind thinking. Next thing you know, you're in trouble. So we need to not go down those paths. Don't. I've heard this people say many times. I'm saved and I'm witnessing. I'm going to go in a beer joint and I'm going to witness to all them people and I'm going to see if I, and tell them about Jesus. What you going to do when you go in there? Half of them drunk or drinking real bad. Best thing to do is wait and you see them at the beer joint, go to their house and visit with them. Because you won't have that temptation. He says, don't go into these places. Don't go to places like that. In other words, he's talking about the ungodly. And then we go down there, and he talks about, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Here's where we have a lot of problems sometimes, standing in the way of sinners. We have so many people out there that's lost today. We have churches that are empty. What's wrong with that? The churches, people don't want to come to church. Or is it because they don't know about Jesus? It says, standing in the way of sinners. A lot of times, people would come to church if people would invite them. And then again, a lot of people have this in their minds that you are to be cleaned up, no drinking, no smoking, no none of all this stuff, and you oughtn't to wear certain things to come to church. You ought to clean up before you come to church. I believe in taking a bath. Now, don't get me wrong. I believe in taking a bath and smelling good when you come into church. But a sinner, when he comes in the door, we shouldn't shun him. We ought to invite him in. And this is, I've seen this on a sign on the front of an old man's truck. It says, we catch them, God cleans them. You see that? We catch them, we invite them, we talk to them, we lead them, and the Word of God takes care of the cleaning. See, when I got saved, oh, I was a good old boy. I was married. Me and Gloria got married. Been married about a year. I was a good old boy. Before we was married, I went out and done things I shouldn't have done, and I all kinds of stuff. But when I come to church, they didn't say, Eddie, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that. All they told me is, come on in and hear the Word of God. And the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, pricked my heart. One Monday night in a revival in a little church in Lincoln. And I give my heart and life to the Lord. And He saved me. And if people say, well, you know, I'm in church and I'm saved and all this, but my mouth is vulgar and I just can't control it. Never been cleaned up. When God saved me, He took that filthy mouth of mine away. He put words of special, happy words, clean words in my mouth. That's what I'm talking about. Standing in the way of sinners. We're talking about in Acts. Let's go over to Acts chapter 8. I'll get settled down here in just a minute. Acts chapter 8. Talking about standing in the way of sinners. You know, a lot of times we do that. We say, well, they're not going to do no good. God don't want them. God don't want them because look what they've done. They've done all kinds of stuff. They've run around. They've done this. They drank and all this stuff. God wants to save anybody, whosoever will. I don't care what you might be here today and you're not saved. Why not today? People says, well, I don't want to get saved. I have to do all this stuff. I'd rather give up all my buddies, and that's what I done when I got saved, because they wouldn't have nothing to do with me. But I didn't go back and try to live with them and then try to go to church too. And that's what a lot of people do. They want to live in the world, then on Sunday come to church and try to get it right. We need to make sure we're right. What did he say there? He's talking about, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Over in Acts chapter 8, verse 29, you know the story about the eunuch. It says, and the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And then on down verse 35 says, then Philip opened his mouth and began to the same scriptures and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, there came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doeth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, and this is what I want to get, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We need to believe. And if we're believers and we're children of God, then we're going to see these people out here, these sinners. What were we before we were saved? We were sinners. We were on our way to hell. We was not going to make it to heaven because we didn't ask Jesus to come into our hearts and our lives. So we don't want to stand and hinder anybody else from coming in. And then the scornful. They don't believe, it says there, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. This is people that don't believe Antichrist or whatever you want to call them. They don't believe in God at all. They're the ones that don't want prayer in school. They don't want the Bible read in schools. They don't want you to do nothing. They want to try to get you to come off the church pew and come out there to where they're at, that they don't believe in God. They try to talk about bullying in school. Have you ever seen where people try to bully you as a child of God? They do. They try to put you down. They put you down and they stomp you. And I'm talking about people a lot of times in churches. If a child of God gets down, something happens, and he just gets down, they want to stomp him. You're supposed to lift them up. That's what Jesus said. Lift them up. Help them up and do things. Don't try to push them on down. And don't walk away from them. He talks about that. Scornful. Scornful. They don't believe in God. They just don't believe in God. Then it says there in verse 2. But his delight is the law of the Lord. And in his law doeth he meditate day and night. You know, as a child of God, our delight is in the law of the Lord, in the Word of God. That's our delight. When we get into this and read and let the Holy Spirit reveal to us what the Word of God says. It's our delight, and we meditate day and night. Joshua 1:8. 8 and 9. It says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt go have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." You know, I thought about that today. Thought about that so much today. Well, no matter where I go, God is with me. When I come into this church, God is with me. There's no way I could stand up here and do this and bring and read without God helping me and providing the courage to stand. I'll tell you a little secret. When I was in school, they sent a note home to my mother. Could I talk? Did I have a speech impairment? Because I never said a word. Book report time. Come. Book report. You had to stand up before the class. I wasn't in school that day. And now look what God has done. All these years, I've been in the church. I've been Sunday school teacher. I've been superintendent, deacon, and a preacher of the Word of God. God, without Him, I couldn't do nothing. You can't do nothing without God's help. It's like, you know, meditating day and night. And I'm not talking about standing here reading the book day and night, day and night, day and night. He says meditate. Take it. It's like some of you may be old enough to know about farming. I was raised in Pumpkin Center, North Carolina, down there in all the farm country. But it's like, I use this a lot of times as meditating. You read the Word of God, then all during the day, you're thinking about it. You bring it up in your mind, and you think about it while you're doing things. I'm not saying don't work or do nothing. I'm telling you, just in your mind. It's like an old cow. And you know what a cow does. She loads up her stomach, and she goes finds her a good shade tree and lay down and chew her cud. Just chew and chew and chew. How many of you take the Word of God and put it in your heart, and you just lay and chew over that? And let the Word of God cleanse our heart and our minds, and our soul. That's what I'm talking about. Meditating day and night. Then verse 3. My time's running down. Then verse 3. "And he shall be like a tree planted by the river of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaves also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." We as children of God, you take an old tree, you take a tree, and you plant it away from the creek just a little bit. Well, the roots, the moisture of the branch or the pond seeps through the water of earth. And those roots, they kind of work their way towards the water. And they get plenty of water. But if you take a tree out here on a dry hill somewhere or another and it just gets rainwater, it don't do as good as it does down there where it can get good. That's what we are. We are a tree planted in this water. The water is the Word of God. And our roots are into this Word. And it's there. Day and night, every day, we have precious water that takes and restores our soul and we flourish. And we flourish day and night, year after year. He says, it's like a tree planted by the river of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Now, let's go back to over here on Psalms 90, 92. Psalms 92. Down there at the last three verses. 12, 13, 14, 15. Four verses. Psalms 92. I like to hear them pages turning. I like to hear the Bibles turning. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree, and he shall grow like a cedar of Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth. Now get this. This is what I want you to get. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourish or green. They to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock. And there is no unrighteousness in him. Even when we get old and our hair turns gray, mine ain't got much up there, but when it turns gray, we're still able to bear fruit. What is fruit? It is to going out and sharing Jesus with other people. When you meet them on the street, wherever you meet them, you smile. I've had people come up to me and say, "You're a preacher, ain't you?" I didn't go around. I was in my blue jeans. I didn't go around and advertise. But if they can see it in you, they can tell by the way you act. They know that you're a child of God by the way you act. Are you acting like a child of God? Or do you go around and people say, "Well, if they're a Christian, I don't want nothing to do with them. Or I don't want to be no part of it." See, we should be, as child of God, we should be whatever Jesus wants us to do. Watch our mouth, clean it up, and our roots should be in the water of the Bible, and his leaves shall never wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Let's go on over in Psalms 128. I'm making you do a lot of studying, reading. But I want to get this. We said there in verse 1 of Psalms, blessed is the man that walketh. Now we see here, Psalms 128, verse 1, 1, 2, 1 and 2. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his way. It's not just man. It's men, women, boys, and girls. All of us that are saved, washed in the blood, and now we are his children. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord and walketh in his ways, for thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Happy. Happy. It will be. And we shall prosper. He says we'll prosper. What? If we stay away from all that stuff out there in the world. Don't let it bind us down and get us out of church. Don't let somebody ridicule you and get you out of church. There's churches right now that are having a lot of problems because of somebody talking and running people down. I said earlier in this, that we're out here to speak to people and show them the scriptures. He says, we're the fishermen, God cleans. We're to catch them, and God's to clean them. And that's the way it's going to be. We can't clean people up. We can take them out and we can give them a bath. We can take the beer out of their hands. We can take everything away from them. And that mouth, we can't make that mouth quit cussing. But God can. God can. That's what we need to do. Now let's go to the last. That's the first three verses is a saved man. And he's telling us, warning us not to do these things. Verse 4. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Talking about the ungodly, unsaved, they're lost. They're on their way to hell if they don't get saved. It's like the, he says, it's like the chaff. You ever been out in the wheat field and grab a big old head of wheat and you put it in your hand and you roll it like that? What happens? You separate the husk from the grain. And you go, and all the husk just flies away. That's what he's talking about. Talking about the chaff. The wind driveth away. It just goes. But the kernel's still here in the hand. You blow. The chaff's gone, but the seed's there. That's who we are. We're saved. We're in God's hand. If you're not saved, you're not in God's hands. But you can be. All you have to do is accept Him as your Lord and Savior. There, verse 5. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the ways of the righteous, but the way of ungodly But the way of the ungodly shall perish. Perish is lost forever without God, without Jesus, without friends. People says, oh, me and my buddy's going to go down there and we'll go to hell. We're going to have a big party. No, you won't. You won't know nobody down there. You'll be in so much torment. You won't know nobody. All you're going to remember is all the opportunities that you had in churches or whoever was speaking to you and told you about Jesus. That's all you're going to be tormented with. Only if that's what you're going to say. Only if I just listened. Only if I just believed. If I would just believe that Jesus was the Son of God. If only I just believed, I wouldn't be in this torment. But once you die, once you take that last breath, there's your answer. You're either going to heaven, and the only way there is through Jesus, the blood of Jesus, or you're going to the hell. And there's no coming back. Once you're there, that's it. I'm not a doomed preacher, but I'm telling you the truth. The wheat, when you roll it, and you blow it, the husk falls away and just goes over. But the kernel is still in the hand. We who are saved are in God's hand, and nobody can take us out. Nobody. This world can condemn us, they can beat us, they can destroy us, they can do everything to us. But God said, vengeance is mine, I'll take care of you. No matter what happens, if you're a child of God, you're going to go to heaven. And the only way to do it is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and ask Him to save you. How about it today? I'm going to ask the brother to come. I'm done. I thank you for the opportunity to come and to speak. I love to speak the Word of God, share the Word of God. I'm no famous preacher. I'm no educated person. But I know one thing, and that's the Holy Bible, God's Word. And He gave it to us many, many years. And all down through the years, many people have gone on to heaven because of Jesus going to the cross. And a lot of people have went on to hell not believing. Come on, brother.